tug of war at me. All day long I struggle for the answers that I need. Then I come into his and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. God Almighty.
Welcome this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. So good to see each and every one of you. Welcome those who are watching by way of Facebook, and we appreciate you. I tell you what, Brother Don Nettles, won't you come on down? We'll receive the offering in just a moment. I have a few prayer requests to mention, a few updates, and then we're going to pray and have our offering taken up. And then we're going to have a song or two. But we all know the COVID has been on the uptick. But saying that, this past week we received word. I'm sure much already know and that's aware, but Brother Ricky Harper went home to be with the Lord. And in fact, his services are today. 1 p.m. at the Miller Funeral Home, the Dogwood Chapel in the funeral home with Brother Snyder Turner officiating. And that's at 1 o'clock. It's in Tallapoosa. And the interment will follow in Hollywood Cemetery. Hollywood Cemetery. And I never had the privilege, the opportunity of meeting Brother Ricky. But I know he was a well-loved man, from what I hear. Well-loved man. And the Lord changed his life, and he went on to pastor. And so I just ask that we all remember his family this morning. Remember his family, his mother, Miss Ruby. Let's remember her as well. She just had she went in to have a heart catheterization, but everything was clear, from what Miss Claudia tells me. But she does have to have heart surgery here soon. And so they're keeping an eye on that. So please remember Miss Ruby. She can't even be at the funeral today of her own son. And so remember her and the family during this time. I also received word this morning. We've been praying for Pastor Rodney Colston over at Temple Baptist. And his wife, Robin, has been in the ICU on the ventilator and found out she passed away. And so all COVID-related because of COVID. And not sure if she had any underlying issues or not, but let's remember Brother Rodney in Temple Baptist Church this morning when we pray. Also, Ed and Marianne Sanvey, Brother Ed, it was confirmed, I guess about a week ago, something like that. He did have a stroke and was hospitalized. But he is in rehab for the next 2 weeks. Can't see anyone, not even Miss Marianne, no family, no nothing. Just therapy, trying to get better. So this morning, let's remember Brother Ed and Miss Marianne. James and Shirley Townsend, Brother James needs our prayers as it was requested to put him back on the prayer list. So praying for you, Brother James. Miss Mary Kelly and her back condition, I don't think is much better. And her grandson had a terrible fall. Let's remember him. Let's remember David and Glenda Henderson this morning. They're both at home in quarantine and just trying to get over this COVID mess. And so let's pray for them and that the Lord would bless them and give them a speedy recovery. And of course, Harold Dolph, spoke with him this past week, and he had his hand surgery. And he said he had a trigger finger. I said, well, you got to be specific, Brother Harold, because a lot of people have a lot of itchy trigger fingers who are gun owners. But anyway, it's where your finger locks up as though you were pulling a trigger on a gun. And so he had to have a surgery for that. So praying for Brother Harold. And, of course, he has to have a back surgery, and he has to go to the cardiac department for something. So let's remember Brother Harold. Again, a lot of prayers this morning. There are many, many other prayers that we could mention. We would be here the whole service for that, but God knows all about it. And in just a moment, we're going to pray and bless the offering and all these other requests underneath that umbrella of prayer. I do want to say that tonight we will have our baptism service, and we are excited about that. We have four that's getting baptized, I believe. Got four. So praise the Lord this morning. And shame on the devil for when he says nobody's going to get saved anymore. No, you know, the devil will tell you many things, but sometimes he tries to tell us that nobody's interested in God anymore, that doesn't want to get saved anymore, especially young people. Well, guess what? Young people were baptizing tonight. And so praise the Lord. Max, William, Alex, and Imani. And so we are so thrilled about that. In saying that, we will actually do the baptizing at the end of the service. And we're going to have, again, some special music tonight. And then a message, and then we'll baptize. So remember that. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've come to worship. So let's dismiss everything that may be in our minds that may be hindering this moment. I know for sure God has something to say this morning. And so let's remember the service today. Brother Don Nettles, would you bless the offering, sir? my kids, my family. That's my prayer for all of us as we navigate through this time of pandemic and uncertain days, that the Lord would just protect. And it's very important, everyone, and younger people more specifically, that you learn to take each day as a gift. And tell your family that you love them, your mom, your dad, grandparents, because you never know what a day may bring, especially during times in which we live. Again, Lord, protect our families is my prayer today. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Revelation. Revelation, chapter number 3. I couldn't get peace on anything else other than chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. And I feel that this is where we should be this morning. And I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will read verse number 1 down through verse number 6. Just after we pray. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, we need you. I pray, Lord, in the next few moments, God, that your hand would be upon me. I can do nothing apart from you. So, Lord, I pray for Holy Ghost power, unction. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint me afresh and anew with a speedy mind, in a calm heart, so that I might be able to preach your word this morning to the hearts of your people. Holy Spirit, if there's someone here that doesn't, it's not part of the family of God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would convict them. Let them know they need to be saved. And we will gladly show them how to be saved. And for the Christian that maybe is cold and indifferent to the things of God, I pray this morning that they would warm up to Christ by the truth of your word. Father, we just love you. We thank you for the things that you have done, the things that you're doing now, and the things that you're going to do in the future. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen. Revelation chapter number 3, notice verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And then in verse number 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's reading Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1 through 6. I want to call your attention to verse number 1. Verse number 1, in that latter part of verse number 1, where he says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Call your attention where he says, and art dead. I want to preach for a few moments on this subject this morning, Church of the Living Dead. Church of the Living Dead. Jesus says that this was a church located in Sardis, but the members of the church were alive in body, but they were dead in spirit. We have the Church of the Living Dead. Now, recently, we covered, before I get into the message, on a couple Sunday mornings, we talked about the Church of Ephesus and the church in Philadelphia. The message concerning Ephesus, we talked about returning to thy first love. And I do want to emphasize and reiterate one more time that they were called to return to their first love that they left, but that they did not lose. They did not they didn't lose their first love. They just left their first love. And then we talked about the Church of Philadelphia. And the message was entitled, The Open Door. And we talked about in that message how God is able to open doors for us in life. And how that the doors that He opens, no man can close. And on the contrary, doors that God closes in life, no man can open. The Church of Philadelphia. I feel it necessary to talk about these churches since we are living in the church age. Just makes sense, doesn't it? On the Bible timeline, we are living in Revelation chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. So if you want to know what's taking place in church, just look in those two chapters. Chapter 2, chapter 3. Chapter number 4 and verse number 1, it deals with the rapture of the church and the things that will be thereafter. Now, this morning, to refresh our memory concerning the churches, I want to mention a few things here. There were 7 churches that are represented in these two chapters, 2 and 3. There's the church of Ephesus, the church of Smyrna, the church of Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, let me say that these 7 churches were literal churches in Bible days. They were literal places of worship. Whether it was in a building, whether it was in a house or a meeting down by the river, again, let me remind all of us that we make up the church. It's not the building. But there were 7 literal locations where they worshiped. But also these churches, they represent time periods in the church age, as I said a moment ago. Now, these churches are to be interpreted 2 ways. Number one, they're to be interpreted corporately, meaning everybody, the local church. We can see and we receive direction concerning the church and how to handle the church and what we should do corporately in our church. But also it's to be interpreted individually. In our own lives, we can glean some things that we're to do and receive instruction on things that we're to do in our own individual Christian lives, those of us that are saved. In verse number 6 of chapter 3, notice what he says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so basically these letters happen this way. God showed John what he wanted him to write, and he sent it to each pastor of each church. And the pastor would share it for the church, or share it to the church. And so these letters to these 7 churches were to the pastor, but for the church. It's like the Bible that we have from Genesis to Revelation, much of it to the Jew, to Gentile, and to all of these Bible characters, but it's for us. We certainly have principles that we live by out of God's word that was to someone, but for all of us. And so it tells us that we have to have a listening ear, and we can hear on what to do concerning our church corporately, but also have a listening ear to what we're to do in our own individual lives. So this morning we see just a little bit about these churches. These seven churches are also called candlesticks for obvious reasons. The church is to shine their light for Jesus in a lost and dying world. But also there are seven stars. When it comes to these seven churches that's mentioned, these seven stars are angels or messengers or pastors of these churches. You didn't know I was an angel, did you? I just don't have no wings. I heard a grunt over here. And so these stars are, the Bible says, these angels, these messengers, these pastors are in the hands of God. And that's a blessing to the pastors that we don't have to stand and preach all by ourselves, that God is with us, He's holding us, and we don't have to face any challenges apart from the Lord. He will guide us and instruct us. We still have to work hard at it, but God's just with us. And so what a blessing that is that the stars are in God's hand. And we also know concerning the seven churches, the seven stars, that the Lord Himself is fully aware from Bible days to now what's going on in the church. In chapter number 1, in verse number 13, the Bible says, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." And he goes on and on and on describing the Son of God. And so the Lord this morning is here. Whether we feel Him or not, biblically He's here. He knows what you're going through in life. He knows what I'm going through in life. And so therefore the gospel message is preached. It's up to you to respond to the message, whatever you may be going through, because God knows what you're going through, and therefore He wants you to respond accordingly. Now back to Sardis in chapter number 3, and we're getting ready to launch off into the message. The church in Sardis pictures the cold church. The cold church. They were dead and needed a resurrection. There's a wonderful book out, and I actually haven't read the whole book, but I read the cover. I know the title of it, and I read a few chapters. But the book is called Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And Tom Rainer is the writer of it. And from what I've read so far, it is a great, great book. An autopsy of a deceased church. And so Sardis this morning, it was a dead place. It was a cold place. And again, there's much that we can glean on a church level from the church of Sardis, but also an individual level as well. So what can we glean from the church of the living dead? What can we gather from this church that was located in Sardis? Well, there's some things I want to mention this morning, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you in your life as it was to mine. In verse number 1, we see the reality of the church. The reality. Notice again in verse 1, he says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Let's stop right there. The first part of this reality is that this church was addressed by the Lord Himself. He was speaking. He showed John the message, and the pastor has the letter. And now the letter is for the church. And it's Jesus, the Lord Himself, addressing this church. Notice what He says. These things saith he, Jesus, that hath the seven spirits of God. Wait a minute, Brother Justin. I've always heard that, you know, there's only one spirit. Well, there is only one spirit. And wait a minute, Brother Justin. I've always heard that it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. What is the seven spirits of God here? Well, and that's true. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But you've got to look real intently in this phrase. Because in this phrase, there is a number given. And in the Bible, I do want to say that there is an entire study on biblical numbers and their meanings. He says, the seven spirits of God. Now, when it comes to the study of biblical numerology, the number seven, it means completeness. It means completeness. Do you remember back in Genesis chapter number 1 in verse 31? Listen to this. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was not just good, but it was very good. Very good. So that was on the sixth day. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Chapter 2, verse 2 says this. On the seventh day, God ended his work and rested. He completed the makeup of mankind. And so it took 6 days, and then on the seventh day, God rested because it was very good. The number seven has to do with completeness. You remember in 2 Kings chapter number 5 and verse number 10, where Elisha, there was a man who came to his place of residence, and he was the man named Naaman the leper, and he was, my mind's eye, just banging on the door wanting help. He had leprosy. And we know that Elijah said for him to go down to the Jordan River and to wash himself how many times? 7 times. And we know that Naaman was mad. He was mad and he was very angry simply because he felt like the pastor ought to do something special for him. He felt like Elijah just ought to stick out his hand and say, boom, you're healed. You know, sometimes in ministry there are a lot of people who are disappointed in pastors because they don't live up to individuals' expectations. But I really, really like how Elijah dealt with this. Because he gave a command according to the Word of God, or what he felt God wanted him to do. And we know that Naaman, he went one time, nothing happened. He went twice and nothing happened. 3, 4, 5 times and nothing happened. He went on that 6th time. Nothing happened. This is my question. And I often refer to myself to these verses. What if Naaman would have gave up that 6th time going down to the River Jordan to wash himself? What would he just say? Well, it's not worth it. There's no use. He should have touched me and healed me on the spot, but he didn't do it. What if he didn't go down that 7th time according to the words of Elijah? Then Naaman would not have gotten healed. You're here this morning and you have tried to correct your life. You have tried to get some stability in your life. You're here at church this morning and you feel like, well, if church this morning doesn't work, then I'm quitting. I want to encourage you this morning to keep on keeping on. Whether you get any help or not this morning from church, I challenge you to go home and get in your Bible and go home and pray and earnestly seek God in your life. And don't quit. We have so many people that's quitting this morning. We have so many people that is turning to drugs and alcohol, trying to buy time before they finally have to face their demons. But I want to say this morning, there's no joy in that. There's no hope in isolation this morning. There's no joy in doping this morning. Listen, there is no true peace at the bottom of any bottle this morning. There is only true peace when you seek out the will of God for your life. And you go to the prayer closet and you say, Jesus, I can't do it on my own. Lord, I've tried so many times of trying to change my life. Lord, I've tried every high you can try. Lord, I've drank to the bottom of every bottle and still there's no conclusion to my dilemma. So therefore, Lord, I cast all my care on you this morning. Lord, I'm at your mercy this morning. The number seven has to do with completeness. And I know that Jesus, he wants to save people and make them completely his and take them home to heaven when they die one day. But Jesus completely has a perfect will for your life. He has a plan for you. And he wants you to seek him for completeness. Him for completeness. Well, back to our church this morning. He says that these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. So you say, Brother Justin, how does that tie in with what you just said? Seven means complete. Christ is completely furnished with the Spirit's gifts, ability, and operations. He has all power and is able to influence and invigorate the heart and mind of every believer there is. Jesus is the complete one. He has the seven spirits of God. He has all power. He is completely furnished. Colossians chapter number 2. Guess what it says about you and I in verse number 10? It says that we are complete in him. You will never be complete in this world. You will never be complete with addiction. You'll never be complete with going to Egypt for resources as many did in the Old Testament. You will never, never be complete doing those things. You will only be complete in Jesus. Amen. Only be complete. There are so many here this, I don't know about so many, but there may be some here this morning that do not feel complete. You may be here this morning and those may be watching on Facebook, and if I asked you if you were to die today, do you know that you know that you know heaven to be your home? And you just can't say for a surety that if you died, heaven to be your home. Well, can I say that you can know that when you die, heaven to be your home? You can know that, and that could make you complete. Just by the very fact that you may not know what lies up for you after death. So I challenge you to do business with God this morning if you're not saved. But you may be saved. And you may be wrestling and battling with the devil and his demons. And I say to do not lean on the arm of the flesh. It will fail you every time. It's like the illustration of the spider that's in the spider web, or the insect, the fly, that's trying to escape, and he's in that spider web, and that spider is off at a distance, and he's waiting, and he's watching the struggle. That fly, bzzz, I love doing sound effects, by the way, if you ain't learned that by me by now, I just do. Bzzz, he's, bzzz, you know, he's trying to get out of that thing, and the more he does, bzz, bzz, he keeps on getting wound up, bzz, bzz, and before you know it, he's in a knot. He can't get out. That spider's over there. He's licking his eight legs and hands. Oh, it's just a matter of time now, Mr. Fly. I'm just going to wait a little longer. Keep on fighting your battle. Keep on fighting your sin. Go ahead. Try to escape. You can't do it. And so finally, he is mummified in that spider web. And the spider just gradually walks over there, you know, and says, "You're mine, big boy." And guess what? That insect, that fly, is indeed the supper for that spider. So in like manner, you and I are like that fly. If we're not careful, we try to, in our own ability, leaning on the arm of the flesh, we say, "I got this, Lord. I'm going to miss my quiet time with you today. No Bible reading today. No church on Sunday. I got this. I'm busy. I'm just going to do what I do. And I promise you, I will not get caught up in sin." Nothing like that. "I've got this." What happens? Like that fly. Zzz, zzz. And before you know it, bullseye, the devil. The Bible says, 1 Peter 5:8, as a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. So this morning, we don't need to lean on the arm of the flesh. We need to lean on Jesus. He's the one who's complete. He has the seven spirits of God. He is complete. He is fully furnished and able to help in your situation this morning. What are you dealing with that's so big, that has you so down, that God can't fix? That God can't fix. A lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with God and His ability, but it has everything to do if we're done with it or not. This morning I say, be done with your problem and let Jesus fix it. This morning we see that the first address to this church, the reality was that God was addressing this church. And the Bible says again, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." I'm glad to know this morning that God has me in his hand, he has you in his hand, and he has full sufficiency in order for us to do and operate like we should. So we see that there. One reality of this church is that it was addressed by the Lord. And he says he has the seven spirits. He says that the seven stars are in his hand. But he also says this, as he does with many of the other churches. "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." What does that mean? Well, we know that he is the omniscient God, which means he's all-knowing. He knew exactly what Sardis was dealing with, like he did all the other churches. And so he looks in into this church and he sees, what does he see? He sees the living, but yet that are dead. He sees the church of the living dead. He says, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." What does that mean? How do we interpret that? Well, listen to this. When it comes to "I know thy works and thou hast a name that thou livest but are dead." Sardis was one of the greatest cities in the world. Their wealth was legendary if you go back and read. But eventually, the wealth led the way to moral decay. They were lethargic and their past glory was only a memory. And so they had a name, they had a reputation that they were lively and living, and a lot of it based upon the wealth that they had. So when John wrote this letter, Sardis was wealthy, but degenerate. The church was experiencing spiritual death. Despite its reputation for being alive, it was infested with sin. Sardis was on the decline. But yet they had this godly appearance that they were one thing, but there was no power. They had a form of godliness, but they had no power. Lord, help all of us this morning not just come to church and be these little trophies on display or showcase ourselves in front of everybody and then go home and live rotten lives. Help us not do that. That was the reputation that this church had, is that they were a wealthy church, a wealthy community, that they were alive and had a lively church, but on the inside they were dead. They waned from trust in God. They waned from morality and righteousness. And they leaned on their resources and their wealth. And so people in the community really thought they were something. You know, there's a lot of big churches. And I'm not just saying this because we're a smaller church. There's a lot of bigger churches. There's a lot of churches on TV that have the appearance of being very godly. And man, hundreds and thousands getting saved every Sunday. And big, beautiful buildings. But you know, in the economy of God, in the grand scheme of things, that means nothing. That means nothing. You don't judge a church's spiritual well-being based upon how much the building costs, or even based upon how many people it has. But you judge the well-being of a church over several reasons, and one of them is their love abounding. Is their love abounding? Is there unity? Those kind of things. And so this church of Sardis, it was like one of those TV churches, I guess we could say. Not all of them, but some of them. They just decayed morally. Kind of like having a shiny car in the driveway, but it won't crank. It's just dead. It's dead. A form of godliness, but no power. A reputation, but no relationship. They were eye pleasers. They were a faded glory. They had religious routines. And my friend, this morning, that is not God's will for His churches. None of those things. This morning, we see the reality of the church. And that is that the Lord Himself addressed the church. And then it was the church of the living dead. Let me mention a second thing. Not only the reality of this church, but the responsibility of the church. Look in verse number 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore, verse 3, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. In verse number 2 and verse number 3, there are 5 words. There are 5 things that the Lord mentions concerning our responsibility within the church. There's the first word, and that word is watch in verse 2. He says, be watchful. What does that mean? It means to keep awake. From everything I see, nobody's eyes are closed this morning. Physically, you're awake. But it means spiritually to be awake. You see, this church, they went to sleep spiritually. They were more concerned about the outward man. They were concerned about their reputation, but they were, I guess you could say, whitewashing sepulchers. On the inside was death. They had waned morally. So he tells them, be watchful. Keep awake. You remember in the book of Habakkuk in chapter number 2, in verse number 1, what did Habakkuk say? What did he say? He said, in the midst of all of the sin and Israel backsliding and all of those things, chapter 2, in verse number 1, the book of Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch. He says that God has me at a post. And I will stand, he says, I'm going to stand upon my watch. I won't be sitting on the watch. He said, I won't be sleeping on God's watch. He said, but I'll be standing upon my watch. Habakkuk said, I'm going to be watchful. I'm going to be awake. I'm going to be that watchman on the wall that sees the enemy coming toward my house. He says, and when I see that enemy coming, I will shout and blow the trumpet and warn everybody that troubles along the way. How many of us this morning have gone to sleep on our watch? The posts that God has us at. And the enemy is in our homes, and the enemy has came into our lives, and we can't tell the difference. We can't fight. We can't warn because we've gone to sleep. We have sat down. That's the challenge. That's the truth of it. That's how the church of Sardis got to where they were, just being a church of living dead people. They sat down when they should be standing up. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 14, Paul says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Is your life dark this morning? Is there no light for you this morning? Do you not know which direction to head in your life? Are you going through a wilderness, and is it dark? Is it lonesome? The Bible says, arise, and Jesus will give you light. He will give us light. In the Old Testament, He led Moses and Israel by two elements. During the day, it was a cloud. And whenever that cloud moved, Moses would move. And whenever that cloud stopped, he would stop. And it would get nighttime. And there would be a pillar of fire. And this fire led them by night, but also it warmed them, I believe. And so whether it was by day or whether it was by night, there was a cloud and there was a pillar of fire. And the Lord operates the same way this morning. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to warm us during those cold times spiritually in our life. He wants to be our sufficiency. He wants to be our leader. He wants to be our captain. Why won't we let Him? Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the helm. And steer our ways into the light. And so Ephesians says that. Again, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So Peter tells us to be watchful. Isn't that something? Peter tells us to be watchful. Peter, James, and John, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus getting ready to be betrayed and go to the cross eventually, and they were asleep. They were asleep. That just goes to show you, just because you fail the Lord, that doesn't mean He don't give second tries. So, the first word is watch. Let us this morning be a church that is a watchful church. Individually, watch the things that comes into your house, the things on TV, the music that comes into your homes, apps that you look at, children, young people, listen to me. The devil is not your friend this morning. He wants to wreck and ruin your life, and he does much of it through deceiving you through music and through apps. Let me just go a step further and say this. TikTok is an app from Satan. If you want to challenge me on that, I'll talk to you privately. You'll be blown away at the facts that is associated with that demon-possessed app. I'm preaching from a very hurt place this morning for our young people. Not just in our church, but in our world. Don't you know that there are pedophiles that say they are 16-year-old boys that think you're pretty? Young lady, don't you reply to that message. Young man who you think that there is a young lady who likes you and says, "I like your pretty blue eyes and blonde hair," do not reply to that message. It may be someone who was just released from prison, who went to prison for their life for child molestation and is ready to do it again. Don't be that one. Listen, as parents this morning, we need to guard the walls. We need to guard our families. And if you have no interest in guarding those walls, shame on you this morning. Shame on you this morning. Amen.
We don't need to give our little lambs to the wolves this morning. If you this morning do not care what's in your home and the music your children listen to, what they watch on TV, you are as backslid as you can be, and you need to turn around before it's too late this morning. If you have lost all care about your Christian life, you are a dead man walking. You are a dead man walking. Children, young people, be careful about these apps. Be careful. Be careful about Facebook. We're using it this morning. But that's the most antique of them all. Be careful with Facebook. Do not snicker if I'm talking about your app. Do not frown if I mention your app. Because you are listening to someone who is much older than you, that who has been there and done that. And I have a little bit of wisdom I've learned along the way. And I love you too much not to tell you this morning. This man will not spare the rod because I love my child and other children. And so the devil this morning, he wants to devour you. Do you think he's going to come up to your door and say, Mr. Hales? Hey, Mr. Hales, hey. Got a minute? Well, I don't know what you got. Well, I just want you to know that I'm going to destroy your family today. How you feel about that, buddy? I am going to work my way in your house through television. I'm going to work my way through your house through radio. I'm going to work my way through your house through your cell phone, buddy. I'm going to destroy your life this morning. How you feel about that? He don't come like that. The devil don't come like that. If you remember in the very beginning, chapter number 3, the book of Genesis, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle. Listen, young person, don't be ignorant. The devil is subtle. In fact, before the curse, he was the most beautiful of creations. The Bible really, that's what serpent means there. And it gives reference to a creature that really had four legs, two arms, two legs, whatever. But since the curse, he said, cursed thou be, and on thy belly you will live all of your days. The devil was cursed, the serpent was cursed. But in the beginning, he didn't come saying, I want to wreck and ruin your life. He came to Eve, and what did he? He actually didn't say anything. He asked a question. He asked, hath God said, ye may not eat of every tree of the garden? Hath God said? I have a sermon I preached one time, and it's entitled, when the devil puts a question mark where God puts a period. And the answer to that is, God hath said, ye may not eat of every tree of the garden. Or you may eat, but the one in the middle you can't eat from. It has a knowledge of good and evil. And the devil said, hey, Eve, hath God really said that? And so he began to question God's words. The devil gets in people's lives, not by waving a flag saying, I'm going to destroy you today, big boy. He destroys lives by subtly going, hath God said? I mean, there's some stuff on that channel you can watch. Hath God said you don't have to totally get rid of that channel? I mean, after all, that music you listen to, there was a place in that song where it said we went to church on Sunday. There was a place in that song. I mean, it was fast and it sounded crazy, but there was a spot in there where a person said that I prayed. A person said I blessed my food. That don't make it a Christian song. That don't make it a Christian song. And so the devil works through music and he says, oh, look, that's a Christian song. They mentioned praying in there. No. Movies and entertainment and apps. You say, well, Brother Justin, on this app, I feel accepted. Nobody at school talks to me. Listen, I understand your struggle. I'm one of those that grew up in school. Nobody talked to me. I had an identity problem. So you know what I did? I shaved my head, God's honest truth. I shaved my head and got tattoos. And the moment I hit Osborne High School, I was going to be known for the biggest, baddest dude at that school. Anybody that looked at me wrong, I punched them right in the face. I'm not glorying in that. Friday night parties, me and my brother both, that was a nightmare. We both would go to these parties and we would literally lay out everybody in that party. We would steal everything they had that was of any value. That was me. You know what I was trying to do? I was trying to be accepted. I couldn't be accepted for who I was because there was nothing attractive and charismatic about me. So I thought, well, I'll just be this bad guy. People will accept that. Guess what? You don't have to be somebody you're not. Be yourself, and only in Jesus we have true identity. Jesus says, you're enough. Jesus says, you are loved. Jesus says, you are cared for. And if we say, well, I never had a father, Jesus says, I will be closer when mother and father forsake you. I will be your father. And so, a lot of young people fight with identity issues. Listen, Jesus is enough this morning. Jesus is enough. Back in our verses, verse number, chapter 3, in verse number 2, he says, be watchful. Be watchful. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. I feel like we need to go ahead and give an invitation this morning. What I want to do is, the Lord willing, we will go through these other four words tonight before baptism. We will talk about the word strengthen. Remember, verse 3. Hold fast and repent. But then there's another part of verse number 3 that we'll go over, and that is where he says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Lord willing, we will, if God permits, we'll finish that tonight. And so this morning, the church of the living dead, let that not be said of our church. I don't believe it is. I don't believe it is. But let that not be said of us individually, that we're just a walking dead person. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. Oh God, for the things that you do. Father, there's been great music this morning, music with a message. There's been prayer. There's been prayer requests mentioned. But I pray this morning, if there's somebody here that their heart is pounding, and Lord, they feel that they need to do something, let them start at the altar this morning. The place where we go when life is overwhelming, your altar, to do business. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You come on the first verse if you need to pray. Anybody else this morning? We all could benefit from this. It's good to see our young people. There may be some older people that need to come. Don't be embarrassed. If you need to come, you come. This is a spiritual hospital. Are you wounded? Is your life guarded this morning? Are you guarding your homes and your families? Altar invitation is still open if you need to come. You come on down this morning. Let me add this while the invitation's given. If you feel like Calvary Baptist Church should be your church home, why don't you come on down and join the church if you feel so led? Any need, any care, any concern, that's what these altars are for. Continuing to play softly. This is an important part of the service. Just come. Just come. A couple more minutes. Our Facebook viewers, this is your time of invitation at home. Let's be mindful this morning of these that are praying, and thank you for responding this morning to the gospel message. And as always, every time we get a chance to stand and teach and preach, we're doing that to be a help. And so I hope that you receive something from the word this morning. And remember our services this evening at 5 o'clock. No choir practice, no choir tonight. And we'll be leading the congregational. I will be leading a congregational. And I used to do that a lot at Zion View. And we're looking forward to that. So Brother David's going to have to help me out a little bit. But I think we'll do good with that. And have a couple more tonight to sing. And then we'll follow through after the message with baptism. So looking forward to tonight's service. So you make plans on being here with us. All right. Are all hearts clear before we go? Amen. Got an amen? Anybody else? We good. All right. Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Brother Lee. For that, we have red potatoes downstairs. And so if you want a bag, need a bag, and you don't do well with stairs, we'll run and get you a bag. And but anyway, remember that. Thank you for that. And again, looking forward to tonight's services. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer, and everyone have a blessed and safe afternoon in this messy weather. And Brother Selon, would you close us out?